In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
God. Brothers and sisters, I bring to you the greetings of His Beatitude Metropolitan Tikhon, who just yesterday led a meeting of the Diocesan Council for the Archdiocese of Washington. This meeting was hosted in Baltimore, St. Andrews there. And His Beatitude was surrounded by the clergy of the diocese, and lay representatives from each parish. I myself went. Cheryl was on her way, made it to the Annapolis Bridge, but was ill and had to return. And this gathering happened in preparation for our Diocesan Assembly, which will take place in November, which is a larger gathering of the bishop together with his flock, the laity and clergy of the Archdiocese of Washington. Then later, next year, in 2015, we'll have a gathering of the whole Orthodox Church in America, in Atlanta. And this will be all of the parishes represented at this meeting. In 2016, there's also plans for a great and holy council, Pan-Orthodox Council, which will be held in the city of Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul. And that will include representatives from all over the Orthodox world. Some people wonder if this great and holy council will be considered an ecumenical council. Today, we celebrate actually one of those ecumenical councils. We celebrate the Holy Fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. This council was held in 787 in the city of Nicaea, and this council dealt with the veneration of holy icons. It upheld the time-honored and sanctified tradition of depicting the Word of God who became incarnate and revealed Himself to us. And by revealing Himself to us, showed us the Father and the Holy Spirit, as He has a Spirit without measure, and revealed the Holy Trinity to us. And He gave this wonderful gift, not just written in the text, but seen with our own eyes, handled with our own hands, that the invisible God became visible. And the fathers of the Seventh Council discerned that it was of great necessity to have not only the scriptures, which record the Word of God, but also the holy icons, which reveal His image to us. They said that our faith is proclaimed in words and in images. This is the wonderful, great gift and treasure of Orthodox. I want to share with you some things about our church and its conciliar nature. But first, perhaps we'll do a little review of what we learned in our civics class or social studies. Different types of governments. We know that there's a monarchy, which is what? Headed by a king. A single rule. There's a democracy. We're in a democracy in America. Right? What's the democracy headed by? What's the rule by? The people, right? Is there anything else? Any other terms? How about a theocracy? What's a theocracy? Theos, the Greek word, means what?
God.
It's a rule by God, right? A theocracy. How about, a little bit harder, an oligarchy? What's an oligarchy? Remember that from civics class? It's when the masses, the great majority, is ruled by a smaller ruling class. The small rule the many. This is an oligarchy. So people actually debate whether or not the United States is a democracy or an oligarchy, based upon what's going on in Washington. I'll leave that debate for you to have later. But I want to share with you a quote from Chesterton in his book, Orthodoxy. He speaks about governments, and he speaks about democracy and oligarchy. And he says something very, very powerful for us to consider. He speaks about tradition. And tradition is the handing down or the giving of something from one generation to the next. That we pass things down, we, in a sense, tradition things down to the next generation, and we receive from the previous generation, our traditions. He says tradition means giving votes to the most obscure of all classes, our ancestors. It is the democracy of the dead. Tradition, he says, refuses to submit to the small and arrogant oligarchy of those who merely happen to be walking about. He points out an oligarchy that exists in the living, that the community is much more than just those who are walking on earth. The community of the human race includes everyone. And tradition means to include everyone in that community and not to forget them just because we're alive and we're calling the shots, so to speak. This is something for us to consider, certainly with regard to our American democracy, what's happening in our culture. But it's also something for us to remember with regard to the church, because we uphold tradition very highly. In fact, we call it holy tradition, right? What does holy tradition encompass?
Scriptures and the oral teachings of the apostles.
The scriptures and the oral teachings of the apostles? Yes. Anything else? What else do we have in our holy tradition? What is it today that we're especially thinking about with the Seventh Ecumenical Council and the fathers in that council? Holy icons, right? Word and image. I made a list of some other things. The Holy Scriptures, which we receive, handed down, the Creed, the decrees of the ecumenical councils, the writings of the fathers and mothers of the Church, the dogmatic and disciplinary canons of the Church, the divine services, the sacraments, our morning and evening prayers, our pre-communion and post-communion prayers, and all the other prayers that are given to us, the holy icons, the holy relics, church architecture. You can go on and on and on. That what we possess in the Orthodox Church, we possess because it has been given to us. It has been traditioned to us, passed down to us from apostolic times. And those apostles, where did they receive it? From God himself, who became incarnate and gave it. You think about holy tradition, I'm going to read to you a quote from George Vivas, who's a member of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese and PhD. He says, in theological terms, it means any teaching or practice which has been transmitted from generation to generation throughout the life of the Church. More exactly, tradition is the very life of the Holy Trinity, as it has been revealed by Christ himself and testified by the Holy Spirit. Holy tradition is the passing from one generation to the next of the life of God within the Church. Holy tradition isn't just external things. Holy tradition is the life of God given from generation to generation. And to each and every one of us, we have holy tradition within us by the grace of God. This has been passed down. This is why tradition is supremely holy, because God is holy. And in him we are made holy. And it's this tradition that we seek to pass along to our children, to the next generation, so that they could abide in God and God in them, and they could be part of this holy tradition. To share with you an image. This image was given by a church school teacher to her class. She brought in a large poster into the classroom, and she didn't show it to the children. She had it facing her and not facing the class. And she laid this poster down, face down, on the table. And she began to cut this poster up into smaller pieces, into the number of pieces of people who were in the class. And then she took each and every one of those pieces and put them in an envelope, separate envelopes, and sealed those envelopes and gave them to the children. And she told them, "Children, keep this envelope safe and bring it back next Sunday, and we'll open them and we'll reassemble them and we'll see what we have." That next Sunday, they reassemble, and they gather all those envelopes, they open them, and the children, with great excitement, try to put together that puzzle. And as they started putting it together, they start to see what it was. It was an icon of the Lord, a mosaic in a sense. And they put together these pieces, but when they had finished, they realized that something was missing. There were 6 pieces missing. 3 children didn't show up the next week, and 3 children showed up and forgot their envelopes. And they looked at the image, and by the way, the teacher knew this would happen. She knew this would happen. It was part of the lesson. And they looked at the image and they said, "It's incomplete. The image of Christ is not complete because we didn't bring all of our pieces." What does all of this mean for us? Why are we talking about governments? Theocracy, monarchy, oligarchy, democracy. Why are we talking about the nature of the church? Why are we talking about the mosaic of Christ? Why are we talking about the gift of Holy Tradition that abides within each and every one of us? Why are we talking about all of this? Because we must understand its importance so that we can pass it along to the next generation. We must come to realize, to continue, the fullness of orthodoxy, we must abide in that ourselves, in the here and now. How else can we give it to our children if it's been lost in our generation? You know, at our baptism, at our chrismation, at our Holy Communion, we receive the grace of God. We receive that life of the Holy Trinity within us, in an envelope, so to speak. And the Church continually asks us to reassemble at our Diocesan Council, at our Diocesan Assembly, at our All-American Council, even at the Great and Holy Council, to be present, to assemble, so that we can bring our part of that mosaic, our part of that image of Christ. And if we don't do that, if we don't assemble, something will be missing. That image that was fought for and preserved in 787 won't exist in the next generation. We have to be present. That's why the Sunday Divine Liturgy is so important. For us to be present each and every Sunday. To bring our mosaic peace with us. So that the Church of Christ can be here in its fullness. So that we can see it and rejoice in it. And give thanks to God for it. And more than being just present. Because remember, there were those children who showed up that next Sunday. But they forgot the most important thing. They forgot to bring the image of Christ with them. The church is not just showing up. It's not just the assembly of all of us. Where we get together and we decide how it's going to be, what we're going to do. That's a democracy. The church is not a democracy. What is the church? It's a theocracy. And not a theocracy like any of the other ones you see in the history of the world where it's based upon a false understanding of who God is. Islam is a classic example. A false understanding of who God is, and theocracy gets a terrible name. Our theocracy is a Christocracy. It is Christ who reveals the Father. It is Christ who reveals himself as God by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Makes his revelation present within us. Our theocracy is a Christocracy. And it's unlike any other theocracy that ever existed because through Christ we actually come to know God. And we actually come to abide in God as part of his body. He being the head, we being his body, animated by his Holy Spirit. The wonderful opportunity for us as Orthodox Christians is to receive what is handed down to us, this holy tradition, to be present, to abide in it, and to remember that each and every one of us was given this grace of God, He's given this peace, part of the mosaic. And that together, we have that wonderful privilege of being one with God, one with one another, in a way that is not present on earth, in a way that corresponds to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.